Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK and WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you so much, as always, for making your way here and checking out this series. Hopefully, you like what you hear enough to hit the subscribe button so you can keep up with all of the interviews that we put out all year long. In fact, it's three brand new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So we give you great ways to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, know what's happening in the music world. Of course, you can subscribe at all the usual spots, including Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast, YouTube, Acast, or anywhere you like to get your podcast from. Just type in Kyle Meredith with. And that's me. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'm the guy with the name and the title here. And today, my guest, Caleb Followell from the band Kings of Leon. They are back with a brand new record called When You See Yourself. It's a record that finds Caleb really with his most poetic lyrics of his career. I am not overpainting that either. And he's going to guide us through why they had such a heavier importance on this record, his process of writing, and the characters that populate these stories. Characters fictional, but that also reflect what he was feeling on the inside. And the Tennessee-born songwriter also going to talk about the impact of Western movies and TV shows, something I had a lot of experience growing up in rural Kentucky, so we're going to kind of geek out about that genre for a little bit. How they find their way into this record. He even gives nods to a Pancho and Lefty, a movie called Johnny Guitar. And then we're going to talk about, you especially hear this on the very first single, The Bandit. Maybe for the first time since then, they are finally recalling their really early sound, that youth and young manhood sound with the music on a song called The Bandit. So I want to hear about that. And he'll talk about those early days, being insecure about his lyrics. So he went on to create his own language, which I find really funny because I certainly create my own words when I'm singing a lot of those early Kings of Leon songs. And they're also raising money for a road cruise during the pandemic. So let's get into this again, talking about this brand new album called When You See Yourself. It's Kyle Meredith with Kings of Leon.
Hey.
So let me first compliment you on this new record, When You See Yourself. It's nice to have you guys back. And it's a cool listen as always, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're excited to finally be able to get it out there.
But who is Kings of Leon this time around? I mean, do you guys think about that as you go into a record, what it represents you as?
No, I mean, not really. I think you just kind of go into it, each album you know, you're kind of a different person, obviously, because you've had some time to grow and maybe be inspired by other things in life. But yeah, we, you know, I feel like we went into this album just in, you know, we were in work mode. We really wanted to not just go in there and make another album. You know, we wanted to make sure that, you know, it was something that we were all really proud of. So we worked really hard, and yeah, you know, it was actually a fun album to make, even though it was a little more challenging than albums in the past.
You know, why was that? What made it challenging?
I just think, you know, you're just always kind of trying to do something that, you know, that you love. And so that, for me, that meant I just worked a lot harder. I mean, almost every song on this album, the lyric was probably written five or six different times. I mean, I would come home with just songbook after songbook after songbook. So, yeah, you know, we just put in a lot of work, and I don't know. I mean, you know, I feel like we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and so that's what kind of makes the workload tough.
The lyrics do stand out, and having them out ahead of the record definitely puts some, it looks like, emphasis on them. These are your most poetic lyrics, I think, that you've ever written. I want to throw you that compliment.
Thank
because
you.
Reading these songs, you know, obviously without hearing all of them first, reading them definitely puts this kind of poetic slant to it. And as you talk about, you know, working on that time and time again, what made this one different for you to put that extra importance on the stories that you were telling? And how did you approach them?
Yeah, I feel like with this album, I wanted to find like a new way to approach the songs and the lyrics. And it's kind of like what I used to do when I was just kind of starting out as a songwriter. I used to just, you know, I would go sit at a parking lot somewhere and watch people come out of a store and sit there and just go like, all right, what is their story? What is their life about? And so that's what I kind of wanted to do with this. I created all these different characters and all these different storylines so that it didn't seem like it was such a personal thing. But oddly enough, throughout that process, I feel like it freed me up and took my self-consciousness away and made me actually put a lot more of myself into the songs, because I was just convincing myself that it wasn't me that I was singing about. So, you know, I would have a song about, you know, an older couple, or, you know, the crazy Wild West shootout stories and all this stuff. And in the process, I ended up, you know, it allowed me to kind of pepper my personal experience throughout it.
Yeah, I noticed very quickly that time comes up in at least half the record, maybe over half the record. Sometimes the word time, sometimes, you know, just a reference to time or whatever. And that, so the obvious question comes up, you know, is this a moment of you taking stock, regrets, reflections? What is it?
It's probably a little bit of all of that, yeah. Yeah, you definitely, you know, the more you do this, you learn things along the way, obviously. But, you always, I feel like I always have to kind of sit back and look at myself and look at, you know, what we've accomplished and where we are and what do we have to offer. You know, people have heard Kings of Leon. This is our eighth album. Like, are we making a record because we just want to make a record? Or are we going to, you know, do something that's going to get us some new fans, you know, some people that don't know who we are? So, yeah, you know, there was a lot of that going on and a lot of conversation between all of us about what we wanted to do and, you know, why we wanted to do it. We're all in a situation now that if we wanted to, we could probably kick our heels up and live a somewhat comfortable life, but we still got a hunger. You know, we still love doing what we do, and we want to see if we can get better at it.
Yeah, I also, you know, within those same songs, and it makes sense with what you're talking about, because I get a sense that with these characters, there's we don't exactly know where we're going just yet, but we're going to figure it out. You know, we'll figure it out as we go along. So separating the personal, separating the actual biographical moments and just focusing on these characters, like, do you find that there is a commonality between the characters, you know, and where they are headed, where they are in this world?
No, I don't. I mean, I feel like there is definitely a connection between all of these figures, characters, whatever. And I think the one theme that kind of runs through it is that, you know, they do know exactly where they are in this life. You know, they know that the wheels could come off at any minute, but they're, you know, mentally they know where they are. That's kind of hard. I know that sounds a little dumb, but, you know, I feel like they have figured out what their role is in life. And if it's someone of a, you know, like 100,000 people is, you know, deals with an older person in a home, echoing is, you know, about, you know, these two people trying to break out of a hospital. You got Bandit, you've got, you know, all these things are just kind of like, these people are kind of flawed people, but yeah, I feel like they know their flaws, and they're living with them, and they know, you know, they're just trying to get by with what they have.
Yeah, you brought up echoing, and of course, that's one of the first singles you guys put out. That and again, compliments on the poetry first on that one. It not knowing about the hospital side of things, not really picking up on that right away. What I heard from that was, you know, it plays one of those really great tricks of reflecting a relationship as much as it could have been about current events. And, you know, for any artist, I think I'm probably asking every artist this, especially when it comes to trying to reflect what you're seeing out there in a poetic way. But how much of the world was on your mind going into these songs?
I mean, it's kind of hard to get away from some of the stuff that's been happening. And even, you know, pre-pandemic, there was still, you know, we were still in kind of a bit of a shithole. America's really kind of taken a, you know, we've been put through the ringer here lately. And even, you know, Nashville, where I live, has taken a bunch of hits too. So, yeah, you know, it's, you can't really escape it. I don't try to sit around watching the news all the time because it just depresses me. But yeah, you know, I did make sure I had my finger somewhat on the pulse a little bit. Because, you know, there is inspiration to be found in the bad times as much as it is in the good times. Probably more in the bad times than the good.
Is that where the parasites and opinions crop up in the song A Wave? Does that have anything to do with what we're talking about?
No, that's not what I was referencing there. I think that was more of just like a really rough come down, and you know how being in the ocean can kind of make you feel like you're cleansed of the debauchery that you've been doing. So it's kind of a little bit of a baptism without the religion, I guess.
See, and once again, that's the great thing about songs, right? Like, I didn't hear that. I heard something completely different, but I heard what I needed to hear, you know, at the time. I heard what made me feel good.
I always want people to, you know, after I'm done with the song and it's out there, I always want people to interpret it, you know, however they want. And usually that, when I hear what people think the song's about, kind of makes me go like, shit, that would have been better if it was about that.
Biblical side of things too. I mean, that does crop up in the Bandit. Am I wrong though? The red horse and the red door. I mean, we do get a little bit of that biblical imagery in that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's not biblical. I don't believe. That's, you know, that's the sun, the red door, and the red horse, and that's, you know, this is a man who's been out under the sun for, you know, many days, and everything's just kind of taken different shapes and different forms. And yeah, this is just a guy who's, you know, kind of going crazy from being on the run for so long.
There's a lot of that reminds me of, I didn't know if you were thinking about a certain era, but I really started thinking about more 70s era, like cop shows and westerns, stuff like that, stuff I, you know, grew up with when I was younger.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to give a little nod to like Pancho and Lefty and
right.
You know, that kind of imagery. But yeah, I mean, westerns have always been my favorite movies. When I was a young man, before I started writing songs, there used to be, I think it was a Western Wednesday on TNT or something, and it started at midnight, and I would make a pot of coffee and sit there from like midnight till 6 a.m. and just watch Western after Western. So that's always been something that I find that there's a romantic kind of a feel to that kind of stuff.
You and I grew up in similar parts of the world. You know, I'm in rural Kentucky. I'm in Louisville now, but of course, deep in the sticks growing up and sort of growing up on my grandparents' nostalgia, which was all about, you know, Westerns and cowboys and everything. So kind of coming up with what, you know, those 50s and 60s shows. I don't, did you have a favorite era of the genre that you kind of, you know, went towards?
I was a big John Wayne guy. I love John Wayne. But really it was, I loved the way that people talked. And I know you can't talk that way now, but you know, I love how they, you know, everyone was very short and to the point, and they didn't, you know, spend a lot of time talking in circles. My grandparents were that way. My grandfather actually, he rode a horse in Oklahoma. He rode a horse. It was like a day's journey to my grandmother's just to ask her on a date. And so he rode and asked her on a date. She said yes and got back on his horse and went back. You know, I feel like that stuff is really cool. And, have you ever seen Johnny Guitar?
Johnny Guitar? The movie? Yeah. No. I was thinking of Johnny Guitar Watson for a second, but I don't think I've ever seen, no.
Yeah, that's a cool Western, too. We did that. We were in L.A. making our second album, and they had the thing, I think it's Over the Stars, Under the Stars, something like that. It's, you go sit in the graveyard, the famous graveyard, and they project a film on a big white wall. And so we went, and the film was Johnny Guitar, and we, I think we had some absinthe with us, and we just sat there and got boozed up and ate fried chicken and waffles and watched Johnny Guitar, and that movie definitely stuck with me, but it's a great Western.
Absinthe and Westerns, now I'm thinking of like the psychedelic cowboy style of thing, which goes into a whole different, that's the stuff Marty Stewart would be writing about, you know, these days.
Yeah,
that he
right.
is writing about. Yeah. I do got to ask, who is Claire and Eddie?
Claire and Eddie? So that song, on the demo, there was a keyboard line that sounded like a clarinet. And so when we were trying to tally up which songs we had, someone was like, what is the one that's real Claire and Eddie? And I said, Claire and Eddie. I was like, there you go. Like, that's what the song is going to be called. And really, the song has nothing to do with that. It's more about kind of Mother Nature and humanity and how we've kind of destroyed the world or tried to destroy it. And, you know, it's kind of a conversation between, Earth and man, I guess. Claire and Eddie.
that seems like that's a topic that's coming back around again, that I'm really happy to see coming back around again with a lot of artists. I mean, it probably for obvious reasons. I mean, we are seeing what's happening with the destruction of the world out there. And again, that can't be the easiest subject matter to approach.
It gave me an opportunity to use like imagery, a lot of imagery. And whenever I was just kind of riffing on lyrics, I brought up the Colorado River, and so I was like, okay, that's something I can play with. And so I actually got a map, and I followed the Colorado River and looking at like little stops along the way, and so it just kind of like it painted a bunch of pictures for me. And yeah, so I just kind of I tried to imagine what it would be like on the Colorado River, even though I don't think I've ever spent any time on the Colorado River.
We haven't talked about the music, though, and, you know, and I'll even hit back a little bit on The Bandit because, one, that was the first song that we heard. But it was one of those moments, I don't know if this was intentional, and I don't know if this was just how I'm hearing it, but it was one of those moments where I heard you all, for the first time, maybe doing a little bit of a classic callback. Like you've been around long enough now, almost 20 years, to have, you know, every fan has their favorite era of the band. But this seems like it's one of those times that actually kind of reaches back to those early days that I hadn't heard you guys do in a long time.
Yeah, we were all very excited to, whenever that song started to happen, it was one of those that, like, instantly everybody jumped in and everyone had a part from the word go. And I think that was, you know, that was us kind of, we could feel that there was some youth to it and there was some edginess to it. And something that, you know, we did it as kids, and you know, it's not always not that easy to recreate that feeling and that emotion. But that song was, yeah, from the word go, we were all just all hands on deck. Everyone wanted to make their part something that really brought it all together.
Yeah, as you know, as songwriters who, of course, you know, of course you want to evolve and find new territory, but how aware are you when you're putting the record together of certain fan expectations and your willingness to meet some of those?
I mean, you know, if you start to think about that too much, you'll never accomplish anything, because we have fans that love our early stuff, and we have bands that like our more mainstream kind of stuff. So, you know, you just kind of have to find a happy medium as a band where you are and where you want to go with it. But we're never going to make everyone happy, obviously, because our fan bases, we have a big fan base, and they, you know, they're all different kinds of people. You know, there are some older ladies that probably like to hear me croon a little more, and there are some, you know, younger dudes that, you know, want to get into a fist fight to our music. So it's like, you know, you just kind of have to do what feels right, and hopefully there's something on there for everyone.
It becomes even more interesting when it's the old ladies who want to get in the fist fight. That's a
yeah.
I'd like to know that part of your
audience. I would
watch
that.
Are you able to see how your songwriting has changed over the years? The immediacy of it, you know, from those youth, no pun intended, obviously with a album title there, versus now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can definitely tell a difference, sure. Early on, I was self-conscious of, you know, not being that educated. You know, I didn't graduate high school, so I was always afraid that I was going to say something wrong, someone was going to call me out, and so I created my own language. You know, I would make words up, you know, that don't really exist, but people understood what I was trying to say. And I feel like now at this point, I can be a little more, you know, I'm not as scared to tell a story, you know, that has a beginning and an end, you know. So, yeah, I can definitely tell a difference. I mean, I'm very flattered by the reaction of the lyrics on this album. It was never anything that I noticed at the time. But after we finished it, my buddy who's doing our artwork, he was like, dude, he's like, you have to read all the lyrics to the album. I'm like, what do you mean? I wrote them. What do you mean read them? He's like, no, if you read them like back to back, he's like, it looks like you wrote this about the pandemic or about, you know, stuff that's happening in the world right now. And he knew that I hadn't. So yeah, it's flattering. And, you know, maybe just got lucky with that one.
No, it is true, and I know I've already complimented you on that. It is such a poetic record. It's miles away from a song like Woohoo, which I sing all the time. It's one of my favorites. I don't think I sing any real words in that song, if there are any, to begin with. So, you know, I understand what you're saying there, too. About the,
yeah, I have no idea what the words to Woohoo either, so.
Doesn't even matter, because it feels good and it's fun. But I get what you're saying, because this is a beautifully written record, the way it is. You know, it's just, it's great seeing where you've came from and what you're doing now. I'll bring up the business side real quick too, because it should be noted that pandemic in mind, you guys have been raising money for your road crews, right?
Yeah. We, you know, as soon as everything happened, that was the one thing that we knew that was going to take a big hit was, you know, traveling crews and tours and things like that, and living in Music City. I mean, it's everywhere here. So yeah, we wanted to make sure we could do something that was going to give back to them while we all tried to figure out what was happening. So we did a little thing with Crew Nation, which is, you know, we were selling t-shirts, and we just put the proceeds to that. And yeah, I think we raised a little bit of money, obviously not as much as we would like to, but yeah, you know, hopefully we'll all be back out there playing soon enough, and people's lives will be back to normal.
I'm optimistic that we're almost there. And I know it is hard to make the plans, but do you all know what the year looks like for you? Are you starting to make those, trying to make those, you know, later in the year plans?
yeah, I mean, we definitely have some plans. we don't know if we'll be able to do it, but yeah, you know, we have some shows booked that we're looking forward to play in that kind of got moved from last year. But, you know, that's just kind of us wishful thinking. In the beginning, we thought this was only going to last for a minute. So we were like, all right, here we go. We get to relax for, you know, a couple of months. That started to get old pretty quick. You know, that's our livelihood is touring. We used to always have friends in other bands, and they'd be like, are your managers trying to kill you or something? Like, why do you guys tour so much? And we just loved to tour. We've traveled our whole life, even before music, you know, we're travelers. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a big void in our lives right now that, you know, I'm nervous. I don't know what I'm going to feel like when I walk on stage. I don't know if I'm going to be terrified or, you know, uncontrollable laughter, or crying, or, you know, we'll see.
I know I've seen you many times on many different tours. I was thinking back maybe to one of the very first times, if not the first time I saw you, was here in Louisville, and it was the Headliners. And I tell this story every now and then because the air conditioner had got out and they overpacked the room. And I believe you were wearing leather that night or something like that. And I thought, that man is going to die on stage because it is well over 100 degrees in here. And you live to tell this tale, or I'm telling the tale, but...
I'm trying to think of that venue.
It had the plane crash in the backyard.
Yeah.
Most people know it like that. Yeah,
of course. Yeah, there was another place that we played in, I believe, in Louisville. And, like, right when I started the first song, some guy was like, nice pants. And I was like, oh, here we go. And it was a long night. The guy was drunk. Yeah, I remember that venue very well.
Hot nights in there. Well, I would even take those hot nights right now. I absolutely would. So I'll be looking forward to when it all happens for you all when you get back. I'm sure I'll see you guys on tour again. Caleb, thank you so much for continuing to do what you do with this new record When You See Yourself. Again, congratulations on it, and thanks for taking the time to talk about it.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. Have a great day.
And again, my thanks to Kings of Leon. The brand new record is called When You See Yourself. And thanks to you for checking out this series. Before you get out, please do hit that subscribe button. Please clap. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, YouTube for the video versions. Brand new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Hit subscribe. We'll send you all of them. And after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, fun themes. Again, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of them at Kyle Meredith. I'm also over on TikTok, Kyle Meredith 81 over there. Follow along in those places. Make sure to say hi while you're at it. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Jen, and I love horror movies.
I'm Mikey. I'm dead inside, and I also love horror movies.
And we really like to torture our friend Todd because he hates horror movies.
That I do. And that's why they call me the horror virgin.
That's the only reason we call him that.
I'm not, no other reasons at all.
None at all.
Whatever. So every
week, we take him through the encyclopedia of horror, the good, the bad, the ridiculously Jack Frosts.
And then we make fun of it more. Or less.
Or explain its deceptive feminism.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. That's my thing.
And I'm the funny one. Our episodes drop on Monday, so check us out.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.